Hey guys, it's yes. Lex
and Courtney,
and we are here again this week with the episode of The Pleasure's All Yours. We are here, of course, promoting sexual liberation in the Black and queer communities. We just wanted to make a space for us to come and talk and learn and laugh and really emphasize that the pleasure is...
It's all yours, baby.
It's all yours. Wow, it's... Tuesday? What day is
Tuesday? Baby, it is Thursday, mama.
We're early this week.
Yeah, we're super early this week. We're getting it done. We're getting it out the way. We're going to be able to enjoy a relaxing weekend.
Yeah, so it's Thursday. Yeah. We do have a very, I don't know. I just feel like this is something that we should talk a lot more about in the open so people can get a little more comfortable with things. But to join us today, we do have... someone from a guest submission, which we love. We have Dee here sharing their story and their voice with us. How are you doing today, Dee?
Hello. Doing all right. Thank you. Appreciate you guys and what you guys are doing for the Black and queer community. I've been watching your podcast for a minute now, and it's one of my favorite podcasts to just feel seen and heard.
I love that. Yeah, that always makes us feel really good to hear. Well, to start off, we do want you to tell the people, a little bit about yourself, your name, your pronouns, anything that makes up who you are that you would like to share with us.
I am Latina. I think it would be second generation here. I am pansexual. I go by just about any pronouns. I prefer any pronouns. I have always had this very fluid relationship with gender since I can remember. I grew up with brothers, and so being the only feminine presenting sibling, I kind of had to learn feminine kind of by myself, and so just the construct of gender and everything, I will say I grew up Mormon, so I do have that background of kind of that strict religion experience. I'm 23. I'm 23 now. And that's all I can think of.
It's always so interesting meeting queer people that were also Mormon, because I'm like, dang, babes, do you need a hug? Are you okay?
Yeah. They need a hug even if they don't say so.
One of my other friends is also Mormon and very queer. Yeah, also very Mormon. Well, used to be very Mormon, very queer, very non-monogamous. So it's like just so crazy to see her doing what she does today, because I know how she grew up. So I'm like, dang, girl, you really just out here wilding. The Mormon church would not like that.
Are you still a practicing? Do you still practice, or does your family still practice?
Oh. My family very much does. I very much do not. I actually, at 18, decided to go to the bishop and officially strike my name from their records. So I tried to do what I could to no longer be part of that. Yeah,
you have to,
it's crazy
because
they got
the
your
church.
Name and stuff in there.
Wow!
For them to
crazy.
Take your name out and everything, you have to At least that's what they told me. So,
The only thing
right,
I know
I'll do
about
that.
Mormonism is what I've seen in the documentaries. I don't really know much about them. They just seem real uptight.
that's fairly accurate in my experience.
That seems like a really big responsibility for you, at 18, to decide, okay, I want to step away, and you have, having to formally do it just seems like. A lot of pressure. Are you still involved with your family? How did they take that process of you deciding to step away from the church? I'm not sure if this was before or after you noticed that you were non-binary, or you realized that you were non-binary, or anything like that.
Ooh, well, I realized I was gender nonconforming maybe like at 15, and because I knew I didn't have the funds or anything to like move out on my own, I kind of like, you know, I compartmentalized it a lot. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of just kept that all to myself. And at 18, I thought, you know what? The one thing I can do is I can like not be Mormon anymore. At the very least, yeah. I don't agree with a lot of what they were teaching. And I was very uncomfortable a lot of the time. And so what happened was I didn't really tell anybody. Kind of just, I celebrated like on my little Snapchat story or something. I was like, this means Snapchat, a lot to me, but I feel like I can't celebrate it. So I'm going to celebrate with you guys.
I love it. Snapchat is really the forever close friends, you know?
Yeah.
Like if you're on my Snapchat, right? And you have my Snapchat, it's because I've known you for a while. And like,
because nobody knew was getting added to the Snapchat.
Nobody knew was getting added to the Snapchat. Do not ask me for my fucking Snapchat, bro. It's private now. Like, you know, ain't nobody having that. Well, it's just always so nice to hear that people, you know, people's journey of like coming out of like super heavy religious environments, especially since, you know, for women and femmes, it is so, what is the word I'm thinking of? Like restricting?
It's different than men.
Okay. yeah. You know, because, you know, you can have 12 wives and it's fine. But, you know, I mean, obviously Mormons don't, they took that out of the thing like 100, 400 years ago, whatever.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things. But we're obviously glad that you're here with us today. And, you know, I just love gay, queer, gender nonconforming as brown people, so you know, hell yeah, basically you're in the right place. Well, you know, if you've never listened to an episode before, I don't know, I've had a couple shots, guys, my bad. I don't even know what I just said just now. But if you haven't listened to us before, we do usually like to start our episodes with a pleasure moment, a little catch-up. And since Dee is our guest of honor, do you have a pleasure moment that you would like to share?
Oh, gee. What was a pleasure moment from this week?
It can be as small or as big as you'd like.
Yeah, literally. Any kind of pleasure. It's never just sexual. Whatever brought you pleasure this week. But it's also really hard to think of. I totally get it.
Right? Well, let's see. One of my favorite pleasures, like just in general, that honestly, I don't know. Sometimes I feel like I might get off on it a little bit. Is playing music really loud and cruising on the highway, and responsibly.
Yes.
But I do love the, and I had just a really nice long road trip with a good playlist that I'd been curating for a little bit, and I was just vibing really hard this week. Yeah. That was pretty much the highlight.
That is a good time. Like sometimes I love to just like pop in my car and just like drive down a highway. Sometimes I drive down like neighborhoods if I really like it's a pretty neighborhood or it's hilly, and just like roll down my windows. I make sure I bring a joint with me, and I'm just like cruising and just like all the memories that come to me when I'm driving and like certain songs come on. Oh my God. It like makes me tingle. Love it. I can relate to that.
Something about driving at night gives me too much anxiety now, but I think I don't like all the bright lights.
Oh, do you have a hard time like seeing? Do you think you have astigmatism?
The myopia is for sure.
I just don't like, I don't know what it is. Why the fuck are your headlights so fucking bright, bitch? Like what the fuck? I don't know, driving at night irritates me now.
Okay. You're getting to that age, you know. I swear I try
to be home. Like I don't like to go anywhere usually after work because I'm like, damn, it's gonna be dark as hell by the time
maybe 5 I'm o'clock. Driving
in the dark, it ain't happening. I don't like it. What about you, Courtney Noir? What was your pleasure moment this week?
Well, Lex, since we just recorded on Monday, I feel like I have to have like a separate pleasure moment from that.
Oh, yeah.
Sir. Oh, I met like a really cool chick. at my, you know, at the my place of employment. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, ooh, I love meeting like queer friends like out in the wild that are just like super, you know, relatable, and like we just connect on like a different level, because like I feel like we connected instantly. Yeah. And you know, I slid them my podcast, so if they hear this, definitely talking about you, shorty. But that was my pleasure moment. I think I just, I'm so excited about my new job, my new opportunity, and I love being able to like do new things and meet new people in this position. So every time it happens, I just get really happy, you know.
Yeah. I really love that for you, bitch. You know, I'm all about literally anything that makes Courtney happy. So I really love that for you.
Thank you, darling. It's a long time coming. What about you, boo?
What was a pleasure moment this week?
There's pleasure in all things,
dear. That's true. I'm not gonna lie to you. I just said this to Courtney. I was like, life been chewing me up like a piece of motherfucking gum, bitch. Like the one that you see on the ground and you're like, ew, who the fuck left the gum on the ground? That's me right now. But maybe it was, you know, I got a Switch for my birthday.
Yes.
So, you know, I've been playing a lot of video games, and I've been playing Breath of the Wild, a Legend of Zelda game. And there was, I don't know, I've just been playing that. So that's been really nice. That's been really fun. Video games give me anxiety, but like, it's fun. Anxiety, question mark. So I just kind of go with it. But, you know, I also have GTA on there, too.
Yeah.
So I be going on there stealing planes and shit, you know.
Did you hear about how they're releasing the GTA 6 in next year? In like February?
I got three different GTAs for like $20.
Oh, Lord.
So, you know, I'm not buying that. That's a steal. Is Vice City, GTA 3, and then San Andreas. Obviously, I'm playing San Andreas. And obviously, I changed up the plot because in my San Andreas, everybody's gay and everybody's having gang fights because they're fighting over boys.
Okay. Is this the narrative you've created?
Yeah.
Absolutely. I fucking love it. You hear that, GTA? We've got a writer for GTA 7. Hit this bitch up. I love that for you, though. I love that you found like a little outlet, even though it makes you anxious, but like it's a good kind of anxious. I think, what is that word? Like, there's a word for that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like going on a roller coaster, it's like you're nervous, but like it's still fun.
Yeah.
Like performing. I don't know.
Playing and my hands be sweaty because I'm like, oh my God.
Oh my God. That's me in this Diner Dash level, girl. I'm sick of it. I'm so sick of this shit.
Okay. Well, today we do have like a nice and interesting topic. You know, T-Pay is pro a lot of things. We're pro bitches.
Pro-Palestine.
Thank you. Yeah. And we're also pro whores and sluts.
Pro sex work. Yeah.
And theys and really anywhere in between. As long as you are brown and queer and, you know, with the girls.
Yeah, as long as you're with the girls.
As long as you're with the girls, that's it. So, wow, where was I going with that?
We are also pro-choice.
Yes, for the win. Okay, so, yes, we are obviously pro-choice. Very much pro-choice. Bitch, if you don't want that shit,
do what you gotta do, baby. This is your life. This is your body.
Eat us, delete us, that feed us, baby.
Man.
So that is what we're talking about, is pro-choice. Just abortion in general, especially how it connects to the queer community. Because we're queer doesn't mean that we don't experience things like pregnancy scares and things like that. And honestly, I feel like for a lot of queer people, sexuality is really fluid. Mm-hmm. I always say, like, I don't even like those when... like I'm looking at boys, but then, you know, sometimes I see a boy and I'm like,
man, I kind of like that one.
I like that
one. I could get that.
Usually I do, which is, you know, affirming. Because like, I don't even like y'all, but also men are easy as hell. So
this is true.
How affirming should it be? but yeah, so pro-choice, abortion, queer people. That's what we're talking about today.
Yes. So like, let's break the silence. Let's break the stigma. Let's talk about it.
Yes.
And, you know, of course, Dee is so graciously here to share their story and share their experience, in having, you know, a procedure like this.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, as a lot of people know, the Supreme Court did overturn Roe v. Wade in June. What the fuck? I didn't vote for that. That wasn't my vote, babes.
Oh, babe, it wasn't even up to you.
It wasn't. I know.
Clearly, it was not up to you.
I know. But yeah, in June 24th of this year, it was this year. Yeah. It was this year. That's crazy.
I can't believe it was this year. Sorry, I just... It was this summer.
Was it this summer or was it last summer? I think it was last summer.
Was it last summer? I don't know. I just remember all the days. I just remember all the bitches being like, oh, it's summer and I'm afraid to go pop pussy because I live in Texas and now I gotta drive to New Mexico to take care of my shit. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, let's see. Yep, 2022. June 24th of 2022.
Last year. It's been a year.
Yeah. That's why I got the IUD in last August. Oh, yeah. I said, I'm not playing games with y'all.
Yeah.
Just not doing it.
Yeah, girl, you're going to have baby dolls.
Exactly.
Well, you know, with that, with Roe v. Wade being overturned last year in June, it did, you know, obviously give states a opportunity to put even more bans on abortion, contraceptive, things like that. It did also, you know, give everybody a opportunity to be a little more involved with the community, participate in some activism.
Absolutely.
There was a lot of marches. I feel like there still are usually a lot of marches when it comes to women's rights or reproductive rights, more inclusive, you know? And that is one thing that we talk about a lot is like being inclusive in when you do talk about abortions, because it's not just like a woman having an abortion. It's just a person, a childbearing individual, you know? Yeah. So with that being said, Dee, I do want to open the floor to you for you to kind of, you know, share your experience as a queer person. And, you know, like we're talking about just dealing with reproductive rights in general and how that maybe has affected your life and like your choices.
First, I want to ask Dee, like, what was your process in like finding out that this was the situation that you were in, like what that felt like and like the language that you used around being pregnant when you were pregnant?
So that was... that process was very shitty because, I mean, first of all, I had planned to go through with it at first. I mean, when it happened, we were actually engaged. We had been talking about, like, where we were going to raise the kids. We were, like, things were kind of, like... It felt too good to be true, but I was like, period. I was very devastated when things ended and I realized I was all alone. Kind of like I knew I was not anywhere near close to being ready to have a child. Like I struggled with it a lot. It was like, I'm not religious, but I did my version of praying where I did a lot of just inner thinking and, the language surrounding it. I kind of just pretended I was just depressed, I guess. That's how I kind of had to pull it off, that I was just hormonal, depressed, maybe my period, like anytime my mother would ask, because I did live at home. I still do. I was very, very fortunate that during the process, I actually, a little bit before everything kind of happened, I found myself getting back in touch with an old friend. We were coworkers back in the day, and I had mentioned to her, she helped me get a job, and I'd mentioned her what was happening, and she was like, I got you, I've been through this before. And I was like, oh my God, like I have like I it was a relief, like such a visceral relief, because I really didn't feel like I could talk to anybody. Because I mean, my parents were Mormon, so abortion is not only a sin, it's like comparable to murder. My closest friends are all out of state. They've moved out. They've moved on. And when it came to like online resources, that was kind of my main resource for how to deal with everything. And it was through, I think, Reddit. Thank Reddit. I found Shout an article that kind of, yeah, for real. So I saw a lot of other experiences, and one of them was kind of like, one of the main things you want to do if you go through with the abortions, do not ever say, tell the doctors, you don't ever owe them that you had an abortion, however you're doing it. Like, you can just tell them you're having a miscarriage, and they have to help you. Like, they know, like, the procedure is the same. Like, the way they treat you, the way they help you through it, it's the same. And so that was kind of the process. I hope I answered the question. I may have forgotten the question halfway through my answer.
No, you did great. I did have a question after, like, I... Like, how was there like a moment where you, I know you said that you did have plans to like follow through with the pregnancy and everything. Was there like a harrowing moment that you were like, no, was it when things ended? Is it was it because of like things relationship ending, you know? Cause I mean, I don't want to be a single parent. So
especially not at the age that you are
in this economy. Yeah, absolutely not. So I can understand that. But like, was there a moment where you just made up your mind? And my follow-up question to that is, when you had that moment, was that like a moment of peace, or was that more of a moment of like more worry, more anxiety, like kind of, you know, I know like it's really easy for us to feel ashamed of our decisions because of, you know, societal standards, and, you know, you grew up in a Mormon household. So like, you know, was that like a difficult thing for you to come to, and you know, how have you been moving forward from that sense?
Whew. So the moment I kind of realized like I can't go through with this was, let's see, my relationship was rather toxic. About halfway through, it was very short, but we were very passionate, and how do I explain this? Like, it was a moment of kind of like, you need to decide right here, right now, what we're gonna do. Like, we gotta like it was kind of this urgency more than anything. It was like, I gotta make the decision now. It was right before things ended. It was, it just, it sucks. If my story's a little specific, so I'm like nervous to give too many details.
No. That's totally fine.
Take your time. And yeah, that's what you totally want.
Fine. So basically, you just kind of had a moment, like while you guys are like kind of in the thick of it and going through it, you probably just had like a mirror moment where you're like, "All right, bitch, what are we doing here? What is the outcome here? How do we move forward? What I don't know, you know, it's kind of like trying to figure out what your future is going to look like based on your present.
And I want to ask, did you get this procedure done prior to the Roe v. Wade, or after? Because, you know, there's still certain states that provide abortions. So where did you make that decision, like here in Texas? Were you able to get one here in Texas, or did you have to go to a separate state?
So I had to let's see. It was way after Roe v. Wade.
So
I
this is
had
still
to
kind of
do the
fresh for
process in
you.
state. Yeah, it's a little fresh, but I forget things so easily, and
Join the club.
I'm worried I'll disappear. I don't know. It's been very, very odd. And yet, I gotta just again shout out to my friend because she was the one that really helped me through it. She told me about certain options I had. I found Aid Access, which is shout out to Aid Access.
Oh my gosh,
If there are
amazing.
any women out there that are listening that need pills, I emailed them. I was Let's see. I'm trying to remember because I had it all kind of down. I was remembering weeks. It was like maybe 4 or 5 weeks in. I emailed just in case because I was like, okay, I know that he came, and I didn't get the birth control. Like I remembered it that one time, and I emailed. The process was pretty straightforward. They got back to me really fast. I believe it was like the next day. They were like,
You're
okay, here's what
kidding.
you need to do. Like, send this in. Like, you have to pay, I believe it was about $150. And they give you
That's pretty
prescription
good.
medication. Yeah. And like, it was all in about the span of, I want to say, maybe 5 days at most.
Oh my gosh,
I
that's
was
amazing.
very, very, very surprised and very like, oh my God, like, I felt saved. It was a massive relief.
Well,
I mean, it was also scary as hell because
especially with like you getting the procedure after Roe v. Wade was overturned, even the states that were able to give abortions, they have like a serious cap on how long into the pregnancy you can even get an abortion. So like, some states it's 3 months, some states it's 6 weeks, 8 weeks, whatever that is. But like, I'm glad to hear that these services are quick because they understand the urgency that these decisions that people have to make. They have to get to the place in order to get the medication. They have to get to the hospital in order to have the procedure. So that's amazing. You Not said even it was just
called Aid Access.
Yes, Aid Access. I found them. It was like it was very pretty straightforward, and my friend did mention that there are procedures available in Arkansas. I believe that was a closer, that was another option I had
I
that
know
I
New Mexico.
considered.
If you're
It
in
was
Texas, I know New Mexico is
like
also
knowing
an
what
option.
I know now. Ooh, okay. I'm gonna keep that in mind. Well, to share as well, because I mean, oh, I'm sorry. I'm like tripping over my words. I
That's
was gonna
okay. Take
say,
your time.
Let's see. Oh yeah, knowing what I know now, I probably would have made the trip. Like, found somebody, hopefully my friend, anybody that would be willing to go with me, I would go get the procedure done.
Yeah, because I think it said New Mexico from
Professional, like some.
here, like from the North Texas Dallas area, that is about 8 hours. And I only know that because I had a friend who also, she's been dating this person for a really long time. She was about to move back to her home country, and she found out she was pregnant a few months before, so she delayed her trip. And they literally drove to New Mexico in the middle of the night, picked up a pill, drove back. She took like maybe 5 days off from work because that is really how long it took for her body to like
Recover.
recover, which that sounds about right, honestly. And yeah, like I don't know. I know for like so many people it can be like a different experience. And I know for her, like she did I know some people really like the idea of becoming a parent, but like actually becoming a parent, you have that part of your brain that's like, wow, this is a human being, not like a thing I can have to, mm-hmm. you know, kind of take up my time and give me something else to focus on. You know, they know that this is a person who's going to end up, you know, maybe even having experiences as them, as a human being, as the experiences that they have had. So, you know, I guess, like, would you consider that one of the reasons you did it was also because, like, not only am I not ready for a kid, but also this is a human being?
Oh, yes. I have so many things that I just haven't resolved. A lot of relationship issues. I have a lot of things that, like, how am I going to, like, really nurture and give my heart to a person, to a whole person, like a whole being, if I can barely give that to myself right now, you know? Like, yeah. I felt very unwhole in general. Yeah. And on top of that, I knew, like, the way my family is, it would be a hell on earth for me to navigate that. And then, like, yeah. if I didn't have help from my family, I'd be lost. I'd be lost, just isolated out here. That's what a lot of immigrants deal with.
Yeah.
With that being said, like, you having a support group, like, you feeling like you have a support with your friend during that process, but what does support look like after you've had that process? Like, you're saying you're having to do all this internal work and, like, figure out the way that you want to move through your life now after having gone through this experience with your relationship and with the procedure, you know, but do you feel like you have some kind of support system that can help carry you through this journey, the after part, like the post procedure, post relationship part? Because, you know, this is, I'm sure, the stories of so many other people that have gone through this, you know.
A lot of people, I feel like, can very much lead you to the decision, but I know, like, usually afterwards, that's usually when people don't really know what to say. And I know, like, personally, I have encountered people who are very, like, pro-choice and everything, but then when you talk to them about your decision, then it's kind of like, well, oh my god, especially, like, sometimes people closest to you, it's like, oh my god, I just didn't expect you to do that, like, I wouldn't have chosen that for you. And their pro-choice suddenly kind of morphs into something else. So, like, you know, in terms of this being the friend that you've had to, like, be there for you, have you had any, you know, kind of piggybacking off what Courtney said, have you had any, like, support thereafter?
I definitely had support from her. What you just said is, like, it's the exact reason I feel like I want to be anonymous for this video. Mm-hmm. Because the friends and I want to say, like, maybe even just acquaintances, you know, Instagram followers, you know, people that have, like, come into my life and, like, we just kind of see each other on social media, and that's kind of the extent of how they know me. Like, I don't know how they would react. I don't know, like, how a lot of my friends would really react to that.
Yeah.
To all that. I haven't really told some of my old friends, you know, friends that I've made over the years. And
it's a secret that most of us are willing to take to the grave.
Just because you're just never sure where
you're
never land.
Sure, yeah. Because you're never sure. People love to say I'm pro-choice until they figure out it's somebody close to them. I kind of compare it to, like, when people find out that, you know, people close to them are queer. They're like, mm-hmm. oh, I love gay people. Mm-hmm. I support gay people. I don't want my sister to be gay, though. You know, it just kind of sort of feels like that in terms of, like, well, I don't really know how this is going to change our relationship or anything like that, you know? And because of that, I find it,
like,
really
how you're.
Yeah.
What were you saying, Dee?
Oh, sorry. I was saying, just going off of what she was saying, like, yeah, it's like, I don't know how you're going to perceive me Because I mean, sometimes, like at least for in Latino families, I feel like I'd get seen as very irresponsible to the point where it's just like she's sick. Like I got that comment a lot even before the abortion, before anything started. Like I get comments like she seems like she's not well. It's like, like I can't, like of course I'm not gonna tell you then, you know, like I'm not gonna, I'm definitely like, why would I share this with
That's not a safe
anybody
space.
knowing that that's kind of how my family, like I would perceive me, like I don't, yeah, it's hard to find a safe space.
And I mean, like, it was interesting, like, doing a little bit of research on this in terms of like how abortion and the queer community kind of go hand in hand, because like it really put into perspective for me, like, how many queer people actually do go through pregnancy scares. And I don't know why my brain didn't think of this because, you know, so many people are very gender fluid and like, you know, I don't know what your sex is, and that's not any of my business, as we've also said, like, in multiple episodes, you know, but, I get for thinking about it in a gender sex way, it would make sense that, like, you know, even lesbians do, lesbians are the highest in the LGBT community that go through pregnancy scares, which I thought was
Oh, wow.
very, very crazy. They're at 39%, while heterosexual women is at 27%, and bisexual people are at 29% of going through pregnancy scares. So I found that very interesting. But as a person who I don't really like lesbian, I'm not really like, I don't know. It's sometimes it's a term I don't really relate to because it's like I just really like femininity more than anything. So yeah, there is that. But oh, we're gonna take a sec. Okay. But yeah, it's more of femininity. But either way, it was just very surprising to me to see like how many queer people actually go through this. And you know, of course, there's a third of the queer community, transgender people, non-binary people, gender non-conforming people who have been pregnant and considered ending a pregnancy. And most of the people in this study in 2019, the reason why they like, you know, they don't consider it, or, you know, it's such a scary thing for them is because of the lack of insurance, which is a lot of us in this country, gender affirming care, and then, you know, just having doctors that really understand where you are as a queer, gender non-conforming, non-binary, trans individual. I feel like sometimes like medicine has a really hard time understanding that, but but it of course is really nice to hear that, you know, when the queer people that do go through it and can, you know, come out of it a little happier at least, because, you know, I don't want a parasite, baby.
More relieved, if anything. Like maybe not happy, but just
Relieved,
relieved.
yeah, not like ha yeah. Yeah, that is the word, relieved. Yeah, lesbians being the highest in the abortion rate. I mean, in the pregnancy scare rate was very surprising to
I
me.
really want to do more research on that because I have to get the specifics. That's so interesting.
Yeah, and this was a article from GLAAD, so you know.
Oh wow, yeah, they are the leading source
They
for the
are.
Gay and Lesbian Alliance and Asexual Demographic. I
Okay,
think
hell
that's what it
yeah.
stands
Oh,
for.
hell yeah. Bitch, I ain't know what GLAAD stand for. I was like, I just know it's gay. That's all I know.
man.
But yeah, so you know, of course, I have some statistics
As you
for
do.
after the ruling of Roe v. Wade being overturned. There were 70% of Americans that say the decision to have an abortion should be between a patient and their doctor. So I just find it very crazy that the majority of us think that, but it just
Oh,
don't be
yeah.
feeling like that, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And then 58% of Americans said that because Roe v. Wade was overturned, they have lost confidence in the court
Oh,
system.
yeah.
And then another 57% of Americans now believe that the Supreme Court will come for marriage equality and things such as that because they've come for reproductive rights. And you're, and like, I think one thing people don't realize about Roe v. Wade is that it's not even just like about abortion. It's also about like your autonomy as an individual. You know, so I think that's something that gets a little lost in translation, but,
you know, yeah. What's funny to me is that the, you know, trans community has been saying this for years. Mm-hmm. They said when they started coming back for like trans rights after they were established, like, you know, kind of like Obama era, like 2008, mm-hmm. through like 2012, trans people got a lot of rights. They won a lot of like discrimination, protections and like federally. And then when Trump became president, you know, decisions were made and like things started happening in the trans community, and all the trans women were like, yo, don't think this is just about us. They're going to come for you next. Like they are going to come for women next. So they came for women. And now, you know, we do need to be like sure that we're fighting and we're making it aware that, that we as a nation, like are very against coming for not only marriage equality, but like, like you said, people's autonomy.
Yeah.
It's all just one big cycle, you know? Yeah.
And because, like, you know, these were the percentages there after the ruling, I feel like, you know, there are people who are like, you know, we can disagree on some things for as friends, you know, things like that. But there are a lot of things that I feel like it's not just us disagreeing. It's me being for human rights and you not being for human rights, you know.
It's a different moral compass.
So it really like affects your relationships with people. Oh, so man. In you having an abortion and like how that has happened, and you did say you haven't really told many people, has that had any effect on like how you communicate with people, or you know, the people you have told, has that changed like your dynamic in any way?
It definitely has, considering the circles I grew up with, and kind of the ones that I'm stuck with just living at home. I really don't feel like I can trust just about anybody, in the circles that I've, you know, I had to go to church sometimes, just sometimes it'd be like, all right, I'll degrade myself just a little bit for some food or something like that. Yeah. And I would meet some people that I like, you know, they're older people that have lots of wisdom and stuff, and over the years I kind of befriended a couple of them. But leading up, not even just the abortion, but leading like up, like just my the relationship dynamic wasn't the best, and yet people were like 100% behind it. I don't want to talk about that. Sorry. Yeah, you ever realize, okay. Like, oh, wait, you know what?
No, absolutely. But,
basically, felt really isolated. Yeah. However, I became a lot more acute to, like, who can I trust with me? Who can I trust with this with my personal information now? Like I could, yeah, like where I worked, some of the language that certain people would use, it'd be like they'd say like really dumb, outdated jokes about like how women are inferior, like just a generalization, and I'd be like, okay, yeah, I'm not gonna be able to talk to you at all. I don't ever want to, you know, associate myself with you. I things like that, religions, I felt very what do certain religions believe about abortion specifically. I don't like a lot of people, like religion is really their baseline, especially in Texas. Like if you don't live in Texas, yeah, or like a very like south Bible Belt state, you really that experience is very like, it's just if someone your age isn't religious, their mother might, or their like their grandmother might, like, yeah, it's like it's pretty still circle, it's still very, very relevant in their lives, even if they might not be
kind of like, and so it just, yeah. it became a little bit like having that weight, especially when I was like pregnant, which is its own, oh my Lord, it's its own process. Cause I, oh my God, I did not prepare myself for what, the health condition, what the like, impact hormonally, what the impact nutritionally would have on my body. Because after the, I was going to mention, I really wanted a job. I really wanted to hang on to my job. And I would still go to work even though I felt like absolute shit. And I was just forcing myself through it. When it came to the actual procedure itself with the pills, I experienced a lot of blood loss, and I really tried to fight through it. I know I shouldn't have, but I didn't really have a lot of experience to draw back on, and I thought after maybe 3 days I'd be fine. And I went back to work, and then I had another just terrible, like, oh God, I felt like I had to be used to go to the emergency room, and they let me out of work, and it was just humiliating and just a terrible, terrible experience all around. And like it turned out that my manager heard, and like I didn't want anybody to know, and it felt like suddenly this thing that was so intimate to me was no longer intimate, like, at all. It felt very, very violating, and I felt very like just,
yeah.
afraid, uncomfortable. And then like I had to go to work knowing my boss. Sorry.
I'm sorry, I did not mean to interrupt.
Oh, you're totally okay. Fine.
I had a question for you. When you went and you got the pill, since you had it like a self-induced one, mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sorry, a pill-induced abortion, a medical abortion. Did they give you, like, a warning mm-hmm. about some of the things that you would expect and, like, the recovery time and, like, what to do if you felt like you were bleeding too much or you were in too much pain? Like, did they kind of warn you that you might experience this, or were you kind of stuck to, like, look online, look on Reddit, talk to your friend, you know, to find out information about what the process was going to be?
So they did offer, Aid Access gives you a complete, like step-by-step, very detailed list, like instructions for how to use the pills. So I really appreciated that. And they give that to you well ahead of time as well. Like when the payment, I think it's even before the payment, I'm not 100% sure, but you get the information beforehand. I read it through. I kind of had this, like a general idea of when to worry and when to go to the emergency room. I had to look up on Reddit though, because I was like, I might need to go to the emergency room, but I don't know what to tell them. Like, I can't, in Texas, you can't tell them that you're having an abortion. And that's when, you know, Reddit saved me. And like, you can just say you're having a miscarriage, and it's the same symptoms. Like that's the procedure that needs to be done. So that's kind of what happened. I'm sorry, I'm trying to answer the question. What was it? Oh yeah, no, we had plenty of instructions. What was I saying? Sorry. I got excited there for a second, like trying to remember everything.
That's okay. But, it's really good to hear that you were at least, like, you know, given the information that you really needed prior to this happening, so that way you would at least know what to expect and everything. And I mean, either way, even if it is just one person that was able to stand beside you and like help you and still be here for you, I think that is still like a really positive thing out of the experience. So I'm, you know, really glad that you were able to have that this person was able to provide that for you. And, you know, that you were able to really like make a decision for yourself and for your life,
And yeah, I always just really can applaud that when other people can also. Yeah, it's really great to hear that you were able to be given those resources. And, you know, before we wrap things up, you know, I do want to say thank you for like coming to share your story and your experience. Absolutely. And, you know, what that has been like for you as a gender nonconforming queer individual, of color at that too.
I wanted to really quick, add when you were asking about, resources and my friend and I actually, like, yes. I left the house and I stayed at her place. She offered her place. And she helped me through the night. Like, she also told me, like, ahead of time, like, you might want to take, like, she offered me prescription strength Tylenol. It has to, like, anybody was like, get the prescription strength Tylenol. It is, like, worth looking, like, ask around. Sometimes women get extra. I know from the hospital when I had to finish the procedure because the pills didn't finish the job. I had to go to the hospital and get it finished. They did give me Tylenol prescription.
Wow.
And that really helped. And I also want to just appreciate my friend so much because if it hadn't been for her, I would have been just even more scared shitless. Like, she helped me. At one point, I threw up during when I took the pills. We kind of freaked out because we didn't see any instructions. In my experience, if anyone else experiences this, now you know. If you throw up, but you ingested the pills and you waited about, I want to say it was like 45 to an hour, you're fine. If you throw up after that, you're fine. It's your body will continue the process anyway. Sorry, I almost forgot. But I just wanted to mention that real quick. I really keep your friends close. Like, you have so much power in just your presence. Like, if you know somebody that went through it, or if you know somebody that may be going through that, I don't know, any help is good help.
Community is really important.
Just a kind word even.
Yeah, community is really important. We say that all the time. Pregnant. Having people around you is really, really good in especially moments like that where you really do need a support system. Well, as we were saying, I'm pretty sure, connectivity issues, but... like we were saying, we do like to wrap up every episode with some questions for the girls. And I feel like, you know, pretty much we have definitely stood firm on where we stand. Mm-hmm. But abortion, yes or no?
Bitch, hell the fuck yes. Do whatever the hell you need to do to survive, girl. Because it is hard out here for a motherfucking pimp without a kid. So can you just imagine how difficult your life would be if you are stuck with a child that you don't want, that this government refuses to help you pay for with food stamps and government programs that mean more than just, hey, buy some Doritos, but you can't buy diapers with this shit.
With the face of a nigga you don't even like.
Oh my God.
Yay, you're back.
Hey.
I'm sorry, I don't know how much of that went through, but I wanted to mention that real quick.
We definitely got that. That's no problem. We were just asking abortion, yes or no, and me and Courtney both said yes.
Obviously,
and I'm assuming you're also gonna say yes.
Yeah.
And then is there a case where, like, I guess this was a question I thought of because, you know, I feel like in some circumstances, people feel like specifically men, especially cisgender men, feel like that they have like the main say in what happens. Mm. So is there a case where you feel like someone else should have a say in what you're doing? Or, you know, is this my body, my choice every day?
I am such a my body, my choice kind of bitch because I don't care if I'm married to somebody and they want a kid and I don't want a kid. That I think is something that you have to deal with among your relationship. Like, okay, that is between you and me and the decisions we make together. However, if I do not want a baby and you're forcing me to have a baby, I should be able to make the decision on my own without the signature of my partner to go and get this abortion, because it's my body. My uterus is being stretched to a watermelon size. Like my coochie is being like bombarded and not destroyed because it's very resilient, but it's being changed. Like your whole life is changing, whether you keep that baby.
And like men can just walk away.
Yeah, truly. At any time, men can just walk away. You can never guarantee that that person will be in your life forever. And it just, hell nah, it is my choice. I don't care. Like, I just don't care. It's my choice.
That's why I would rather raise a baby with my girls. Okay.
Do what you got to do for real.
Yeah. But it's like, you know, couples and abortion. Well, go ahead, Dee. Sorry.
I'm sorry. I was just saying that sounded dope. Like raising kids with my friends is kind of like in high school, like the peak in my idea, in my
community. I'm telling you.
That has to be the future. Get you a little compound and put your baddest bitches on the compound.
I always say every time I've ever had a dream of me having a kid, I'm usually having a kid by myself, but like I'm surrounded by like people I love. It's never like a partner. It's literally just people around me. So but did you know that like 40 to 50% of couples actually break up because of abortions?
I believe that.
Because like,
it's a contentious, you know, situation, but at the end of the day, it's still my choice, baby. Take it or leave it. Yeah. I'm not having a baby to keep you around, nigga.
Nah.
That's not gonna keep you around, nigga.
Yeah. Well, my last question for the girls is, if you found out right at this moment that you were pregnant, what's your game plan?
Okay, so I would love to take a little. I'm blessed to have the resources to be able to take a little relaxing drive to New Mexico with my bestie and stay at a little boutique hotel where I can recover and get my shit together.
Yes.
I am so blessed to be able to say that I can do that in this state that I'm in. So that's what I'm going to fucking do.
Hell yeah. Road trip, bitch.
I'm doing the road trip, and I want the people around me to support me throughout the whole process and be there, you know, through the healing and make sure I have enough time, you know, to like collect myself before I have to go back to work. And it's just, people do not have those luxuries and those freedoms. You know, there's so many people out there that just do not have the resources to travel as far as I could or get a place to stay for as long as I could to heal. So I recognize my privilege, and, you know, I'm very grateful that I can do that. So that would be my decision.
Yeah. I think mine would definitely be the same because, yeah, I don't know. I have nieces and nephews, and I've spent like weeks with them. They lived with me for some months, and I just cannot imagine. Not a break, not a single break. Can't even go pee without somebody. Like, oh, it's God. Enough that my cat tries to get into my shorts when I'm sitting down to piss, you know. But a baby? Oh no, baby. And I have trouble planning dinner for my own self. Now I gotta plan dinner for you, and you can't even eat spicy chicken wings.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
it's a lot.
Yeah.
It's just not worth it for me.
Would you do it like, D, and if the opportunity did need to present itself again, is it a process that you would go through again, or is there something you would change about it?
I would 100% like find a way to get out of state and get the procedure done like in one sitting instead of dealing with the pill process, which was, if you're in a healthy disposition, if you have been exercising a lot, you feel like I have a very small body weight, and I overestimated the hell out of myself. But if you're smaller like me, in my experience, I don't want to go through that. I ended up getting diagnosed with anemia, which was a true like blow to me because I'd been really like active beforehand, but leading up to the pregnancy, just my body was going through it. So, yeah, I would definitely find a way to get a road trip in. I have a feeling like if I couldn't find someone to go with, I'd have to do it myself, which I have done. I've done road trips pretty long on my own. Texas girls know.
Again, thank you so much for coming to share and, you know, just really give us some insight on like what the experience was like for you and what it could be like for, I'm sure, many others is what, like, especially queer people.
Absolutely.
It's just really good that we can sit and have conversations like this, especially because, like, because of the war on femininity and women and reproductive rights, it is really important for us to talk about it and really just also let people know what the experience is, because I think a lot of people are really scared. But I mean, of course, it's normal to be scared of the unknown, but I think, you know, at the end of the day, like Courtney said, you should definitely make the decision that you need best to survive. And I really think that's what you did. And I applaud you for doing that too. Yeah. Rather than, you know, getting stuck in a cycle that so many women get stuck in, women and femmes. But yeah, that's our episode for today, guys.
Wow. Yep. Thank you, Dee. We really, really appreciate you. You know, we hope that your journey is just bright and on the trajectory that you wish for it to be on. If this is your first time listening to us, you can find us on Instagram at allyourpleasures_. Same for YouTube. Go ahead and hit that subscribe and that like, bitch. Whether you're listening to this on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we love you. And we've got like 2 more episodes left of the season. So tune the fuck in. And then we're taking a break till January, bitch. We love you.
Bye.